We are live. The Inner Circle Podcast is here, episode 131. This is going to be a freestyle, and we already got two viewers in here, so I salute you. I'm not sure how things look, but we about to get it cracking. This is episode 131, and we are back live with a new team and a new dream. Let's get it started, and let's get this game cracking. So we're going to introduce everybody so far. So we got three new people because people don't know me. I'm going to go last. I'm going to give it over to Scorch. Introduce yourself.
Do me like this. I was really hoping it'd be Pops. Hi, I'm Scorch. I'm just a dude who plays video games and makes video games. There's really nothing special about me other than I can make video games now. Recently graduated from school and looking to get a job in the industry.
Okay. There's nothing special, but you make video games. That's called, I need some people to lift me up because he's out here capping. This dude got some skills. He ain't even telling you the truth. This dude is the Halo guru. Actually, what you don't know about this guy, Scorch, is that he is private consulting this guy, and I'm going to give him the microphone next. Pops, let them know who you are.
Yo, I'm Pops of Prince Pops Play, a.k.a. Happy Robert, a.k.a. Trio, a.k.a. everything. Robert Walker is my real name. I'm an author. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a gamer. I do a lot of things. I'm one of those Renaissance man type people. I've been married 25 years, been with my wife about 34 years, got three kids, a 30-year-old son, 25-year-old son, and a 22-year-old daughter, my daughter-in-law, been married to my son about 3 years.
So you've been married for how long?
I've been married 25 years.
And your wife let you still be a gamer?
You see, like when I do games and stuff, when I go out of town, she's like, did you bring the game? Because she know those checks come in, man.
Man, that's what's up, man. I mean, having a supportive wife that lets you game for 20 years, that's a very important thing. Yeah. And man, that's what's up, man. So I'm the McPerk, a.k.a. the Bakaya Blue Storm. I am a co-founder of Tick and the Inner Circle Games Network. I have been the back end of the infrastructure since day one. I am not really vocal about who I was. I've been debating over the last 2 years if I want to be a podcaster, if I want to put my face out. I did not want to be in the industry like that, but I enjoy being the back end. But I set for the last 2.5 years. We shut down during the pandemic. Life got a little crazy. And then, of course, you know, with the creator of our show passing, I decided to keep the dream alive and bring Tick Podcast back. And I really didn't want to bring Tick Podcast back, but I was like, you know what? This is my friend's legacy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring the show back and try to make it as authentic as possible as what the fans want, because this was a journey that we had to build. Someone's echoing, by the way. This was a journey to get off the ground, and we were getting closer, and then things just happen, and we just got to push the show forward. So that's what we're going to do with Tick Podcast. So this episode right here is just a reintroduction, and we're just going to have a talk about gaming and different things that's going on. So that, with that being said, you know, rest in peace to our founder, Linwood Henneken, and we just about to keep this pushing. So Tick Podcast is here, episode 131. We about to begin. Hey, there's some gaming news coming. Tomorrow's the Gaming Awards, but we do have the Grand Theft Auto trailer, and I do want people's opinions before I get to mine. So starting off with whoever want to take the mic. Go ahead. Looks
great.
It looks great? That's all you got to say?
No. I've been seeing a lot of the memes, you know, where they're like, oh, when GTA 5 came out, I had to get my mom's permission. Now GTA 6 is like, you don't need that anymore. It's been so long since we've seen a new GTA game.
That's for
sure. I can relate to that. When GTA 5 came out, I was, still in high school probably or something like that? No, it came out for the 360. So I was like in middle school slash entering high school.
That's true.
And now that the new one's coming out, I'm like at a university and it's like I can go buy this game without my mom's permission.
Yeah, that's crazy. That tells the game Grand Theft Auto 5 has been here for a long time. I mean, it was a PS3 game and went through so many graphic updates. It's crazy how that game just changed. So what's your opinion on the trailer, Pops?
So I get to see gaming like I'm the senior guy of the podcast. I'm 49, by the way. So I saw gaming at all levels coming all the way up and seeing this new video of it. It's like, wow, they really doing that. It's like I used to get excited back when Prince of Persia had the little motion steps and then the 8-bit Super Mario, like, oh, that's so real. It can't get no better. And looking at what I see now, it's like, wow, like, oh my gosh, I'm excited to see what you could do on it. And like, it looks like I like the fluent motion of everything. And it looks like it's going to be pretty exciting. You know, I'm kind of disappointed it was kind of short, though. But I mean, I wanted a little bit more. But hey, you know, it's early in development. I'm surprised we got some so early. So
I mean, early in development, man. That thing been in development since GTA 5 was done. What you mean early in development?
Like when do we get to play it though?
Man,
2025.
This is where my rant come in. That's why I let everybody before I started talking. The trailer to me disappointing. Now this is why I say disappointing.
Big fan.
No, I'm not a fake fan. First off, I killed Tommy Vercetti. I've been set up by Lance in Vice City. I played Vice City Stories on the PSP. You know what I'm saying? I'm a GTA fan, man. You don't understand, Scorch. When your GTA CD was scratched up on a PS2 and the level started halfway loaded and you couldn't get, you like it was invisible because you had scratches on your CDs, that's where I come from. So from a GTA fan, that trailer? Bruh. Now, okay, granted, we waited this long for a trailer from Rockstar, a product. The thing is, I want to see gameplay. Like, it's cool that we already had all the Bonnie and Clyde and all this stuff, but I wanted to see level design, map design. I wanted to see something beyond just some videos and some cool music. Not saying the trailer's bad, but what really disappointed me was the release date. The release date. They could have kept that trailer and shown me that trailer in September of 2024. I didn't want to see that trailer right there. It's the game is 2 years away. Let me tell you, there are people that is watching this podcast that will not be alive when GTA 6 drops. There's going to be some people that ain't going to make it to 2025 to play the GTA. So my thing is about the trailer release, the release window. So historically, Grand Theft Auto comes out between October and November. I'm assuming October, November 2025 is when we get in this game. We about to be talking about PlayStation 6 and Xbox Series 19. Like, we're going to be talking about next-gen consoles. It's like they releasing the game at the end of a console cycle. And it's sort of like we're going to have another version of this game that's going to be on next gen. It's like weird to me, but I'm not hating. I just got to add my opinion. I am not happy that the trailer said 2025. They could have just kept that date off the game, released trailers all year long, and then say coming 2025. They shouldn't did that to me because I've been waiting for another game in Vice City for over 20 years. Now, that sounds crazy. Over 20 years we ain't been to Vice City. Florida has changed, and this is what they do to me. I used to live in Florida, so I'm excited for the neon lights and maybe Tommy Vercetti's cousin to come out. I don't know, but this is my opinion on the trailer, but I'm excited too. But that's how I feel. That's how
you think about this. Oh, go ahead, Scorch. Sorry.
I was just going to say, funny story on the trailer. It actually got leaked a couple days ago by one of the developer's sons' friends.
Oh, I see.
And that's why they had to release it like the following day because they were going to wait till the Game Awards.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out on the 5th. It was scheduled for the 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it came out like the 1st. And they're like, hey, Just go watch it on YouTube. It's out.
Yeah, that was so low class of whoever leaked the trailer. And then they had a nerd to put a Bitcoin wallet on there. Like I'm going to give you a Bitcoin for releasing a trailer. I got to save for a pre-order. Like, who are you to put a crypto? I'm like, you took the time to take the trailer, re-encode a crypto wallet on it. That was just low class. And I did see reports that some of the developers was upset at Rockstar because they released the trailer early, talking about their work. But I understand from the company aspect of, I would have released the trailer early too, like this. Like, dude, this dude leaked the trailer with a crypto wallet on there. We got to release the trailer early. Like, we don't want this version of our work being out. Like, yes, the artist was upset, but think about it like this. Artists, this is to the artists that were complaining that the trailer got leaked, that they want to enjoy the trailer with their coworkers. Look at it like this. You don't want the world enjoying your work with a crypto wallet on the video. Nobody wants to see that. So you should be happy that the executive of Rockstar just says, you know what? We wanted to do the corporate event, but you cannot let that crypto wallet version go wild. They ain't have the resources to let that spread. So release the official version and call it a day. I'm sorry that it got leaked. It ain't my fault. It ain't the fans' fault. It's just some internal people's fault. If y'all really, really wanted to control that release date of that trailer, this is what y'all should have did. Upload it to YouTube the day of the trailer and break YouTube. Don't even pre-upload it. Just be like, this ain't coming out of our laboratory until the day of. And that's what it should have been. That's how I would have took care of it. What else y'all got to say? Because I could talk all day.
I mean, one thing is 2024 is like in 20 days or something like that anyway. So it's really, it is long. If that comes out when you think it is, like October, November, then yeah, I think they're going to play it whenever the, you know, try to release it with the council or what. When is the next gen supposed to come out?
Well, you know, well, so no one, we never know the true days of next gen, but so next gen conversations should be taking place in between 2026 and 2027. Okay. So between those 2 years, we might be talking about new consoles. But between 2026, 27, and 28 is when we will be talking about console rumor news. We already talking about Nintendo's hardware for next year, but we're getting ready to, like, it's at the end of a console cycle. Like, it's not truly the end of the console cycle. I feel like we're like in the middle end of a console cycle. So
right.
In 2025, like 2026, like, we ready for new hardware, I think.
So, I mean, we get close to everything you get excited about coming so far away, then it end up like poof, pow, you know, like it's right in your face, you know. So,
yeah,
the time goes so fast, seem like, you know, especially when you just like enjoying it or whatever. So it's like, I get it. They trying to beat whatever, you know, fame from somebody else. But it is kind of early, I would say. But I mean, I would like to think about the history. Maybe I'll look into that in for the next podcast. Like, how long did the earliest trailer come out for anything? Because, you know, we're watching stuff like Marvel and stuff like that. They would tell you, oh, this is coming in 2020, you know, 5 years later, and you just get used to it. So, like, in like 2 years, it's kind of like, I get it. I'm running with you, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm like, I'm ready to play it now after I saw the trailer. But, I mean, I guess I gotta have, I ain't no choice actually, but to have patience. So whatever, you know.
I mean, like, whatever. Yeah, it is whatever. I mean, the thing is, we knew the game was coming. I mean, they already did. I think Game Informer had a big piece on it. So I think maybe they did that to keep the fans in check because, I mean, Rockstar spending so much money. Take Two spending money on hackers, like people trying to get that game. Like people are trying like that. If you got a piece of that in the media, like yo website. So I see what it makes sense just to be like, yo, we need to get some of this heat off of us. Just release this trailer a whole 2 years in advance just to keep the fans out of our servers.
Well, you saw.
I think our stream acted up. I don't know what happened. It said you joined Scorch and it blanked out. Sorry about the glitch, but we still here.
Hey,
it's still streaming.
You broke up there now.
Hey, I'm up here now.
It just says Scorch Join. So right, technical difficulties, but hey, it's a live show. So
Scorch, did you hack us in the middle of the show?
I think Rockstar hacked it. They was like, right. Yo, that dude ran too hard.
Hold on. You can't do that. Y'all talking. Yeah. No negative talks about our game.
Yeah, Take Two came into our podcast and shut us down.
Like, oh no, yeah, too much is going on.
What was the last thing that said? What you were saying, Scorch? Who was talking?
I don't know if you saw it, but like people were getting so desperate to see GTA, they started leaking a lot of stuff. Some like 18-year-old or 16-year-old hacked into Rockstar and released a lot of like pre alpha footage. Like the characters didn't even have faces, like they're just blocky characters. And if you go on Twitter when the trailer was released, you could see a lot of that, you know, trending as well, besides just the trailer. Some of that has some good gameplay, like them robbing a bank and the AI reacting and like the movement and how all that fun stuff works.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Rockstar getting like that, them releasing that trailer, it scrubs all that random data out. Just like everything you saw is irrelevant. This is the official source. So, I mean, when you got leaks out there like that and people trying to rebuild the mods and take TikTok videos and make fake, there's a lot of fake GTA footage out there. So that's the craziest thing out there. Everybody trying to create their own version of the game, like they already got the pre-mod. Before we end the subject of GTA, did you notice that it's coming to console first? There's no PC release?
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. I was like, this will be interesting to see. I have a feeling what will happen is it'll come out to console first, and then they're going to take their time to optimize it for PC, so it'll probably come out a year later.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Couldn't it be a little bit quicker than that? With like, I don't know how Steam works, but can it be a little bit quicker than that probably?
So it can come out the same time as console, but when you're building a game for each platform, it has its ups and downs, right? Like PlayStation 5's internals is different to Xboxes and Switches and a computer, and somebody's computer can be completely different than mine. Right, like I can spend $1,500 and get Minecraft at 60 frames, and somebody can spend $3,000 and get that to 120. Right, so you have to make sure the game can run at bare minimum settings, figure that out, and then say, okay, this is the bare minimum and this is the maximum
and the optimal. And I think Rockstar, in my opinion, this is an opinion rant, I think releasing it on PC, like they're not ready for those modders to mod their product yet. Like they still. Like the PC people gonna tear that game apart and remod it, re-engineer it. Like that's what they do. So I think them putting it on consoles first is going to guarantee their revenue, and it's going to give them an unmodified version of the game before people start complaining, talking about, oh, we gonna fix this because Rockstar ain't fixing it. Let Rockstar have the issues with their glitches and their programming, and then let them fix the game, and then give you a decent patched out version for PC, and then you go from there. As well as I think with the PC version of the game, it's just one of those things. Like we stepping in a realm of different architecture now when it comes to video cards. Like NVIDIA said they ain't really making video cards no more, I think I read. So we doing all this system on a chip. So the GPU market is changing. So it makes sense for them to delay the PC version. I think the PC fans are going to be upset that we're saying this, but like I just think that it makes more profits to be put on the consoles as well. We have not, I mean, we don't even know what GTA Online is going to consist of. We don't know if it's going to be an expansion of the current universe, or is it going to be a whole separate GTA Online Miami edition. Like, because I really think the GTA Online component is more of their MMO series. Like, they already got GTA Plus coming. I mean, GTA Plus is already a service. So I think that I wonder how they're going to handle that with people's previous purchases. Is it going to translate into the new game? Which I hope it doesn't, because I can't play GTA because people are dangerous on that game. Like, they're so dangerous. You go on the servers, you're getting killed with some dude that got a lot of money. You dealing with billionaires. You got all the you got the Trumps of the game just blowing everybody up. So I think GTA 6 Online should be an expansion, and I hope it start over where it does not carry. Like, let they could carry some of their cars, but don't let them carry all that weapons and and all their money over into the new service. But you just never know. I was going to say,
they could also be trying to implement that GTA roleplay stuff, because that's really popular for GTA players. So they might be trying to do that with the PC game.
Yeah, I mean, GTA is definitely an MMO at this point. And I think them charging to play that game, I mean, I know a lot of people not happy about that, but the way that the users play the game, they spending the money anyway. So you might as well just treat it as an urban MMO, in my opinion. So that's what my last opinion is. I wonder how they're going to do the online part of GTA Online. Last thoughts about GTA, Pops?
I'm just excited. Like, I'm living through all the console levels and technology level. Like, my generation kind of like saw it from its infancy stages of like how the computers and internet worked and all that stuff. So I get excited probably with everything. I know I can't play everything, but I don't know. I like games that are like that. I think I played a little bit of GTA 5, but I do remember San Andreas a lot. I don't know which one that was, but
that's like 4. GTA 4, sort of. No, not really 4, but it's just on the PlayStation 1. There's 3 PlayStation 2. It was GTA 3, Vice City, and then San Andreas.
It's another one where he's like, follow the damn train, CJ.
Yeah, that's the Steve. That's the first time they went to California.
I did play them, and I think I played some of it online. I don't remember which ones because I'm not into that series, but I'm excited to like see the hoopla over it. I'm excited to see gameplay. Like I'm a person that I can watch others play games, you know, because that's what we did back in the day. I'm the back in the day guy. We didn't have this internet stuff. Little young guy, you know, like so we would sit back. We only had to before, like, you know, they would come out with 4 people playing, like, or like with the N64 or something like that. Only 2 people can play at one time. And you just had to wait your turn. So it was you know, you got used to watching games. So I can watch game. I do love playing. But y'all know me. I play. I can play games, the same game forever, and be okay about that. But I do. I'm excited to see all the.
So we got a question. I can show it on the stream. So we all 3 of us gonna answer this question, and I'm gonna let you go, Pop, since you think. So the question is how does the panel feel about? How does the panel feel about the rumors of GTA 6 base price will be $100? Rockstar CEO said the cost of the games are on the low side compared to the production costs. So how do you feel about the game being $100?
For me? I'll go first?
Yeah, you can go first, yeah.
I think it's about that time, probably. I mean, like, you're looking at a game now. That's what they do. They'll have a game, then they'll add all the updates to it. And then you pay for all the updates, then you're getting this price. So the next gen is probably the price of getting everything. And then it is the extras to that. So it's the 100. It sounds crazy to say, but it sounds fair if they bring it, you know. I mean, people are going to pay for it.
That's the problem. People are going to pay for it. Yep. And I think the question from GZR Drev, I said his name wrong, but I personally don't agree with that $100 price tag. Rockstar, see, this is the thing about Rockstar. I thought we was going to get off this subject, but this question came in. but Rockstar is notorious for setting trends in the gaming industry. Like, they have changed the engines. They have pushed boundaries. And with the CEO pushing a $100 price tag for a base level game, I understand that the production costs more, but GTA has made over $1 billion. It has made its money over and over and over and over again. So $100 just for a story mode, I don't like that idea. First off, $100, like, all right, we already at the, I think it's Rockstar is able to get that $100, right?
But they will get it.
They will get the $100. The $79.99, like the $70 games, I see a lot of people skipping on that $70 game. Like, some people wait to play the game, and some people are just like, eh, it's $70. I'll wait to get a used copy, or I'll wait till one of the storefronts have a sale, right? So I haven't seen an $85 game or a $90 game, like base level, not even like special edition, nothing. So the $100 for a base level game, that's going to show companies like Microsoft and the bigger industries that, hey, we can get money for a game. So my issue with that is okay, Rockstar is going to get the money, but Rockstar is going to make a product that is highly demand. My issue is that what about all these, not to be disrespectful, these trash games that come out? They're going to be wanting $100 for their trash base level game and then give me a bunch of updates and it's not even a good game.
Like, I don't think they're going to get it though. Like, I think with what Rockstar is going to be able to do with it, if they do it right, they'll be able to do it. Other games will do that, you know, free game with downloadable content.
I mean, but the point is that Rockstar is going to set a price change for the overall industry.
Yeah,
and that's what my fear is. That's my opinion, Driz. I feel like Rockstar is going to attempt to set the next gen pricing of games, but that's fearful for me. But at the end of the day, as a consumer, I ain't got to buy none of that stuff. So you know, us as a consumer, we just got to make sure that we guard our wallets and go from there and don't take garbage products in our libraries at this point. And I think consumers, like, the thing, I'm going to rant one more time. The video game consumer is a little bit different compared to the game consumers in the past. Like, these game consumers, we're talking about people that read financial reports. These people be reading the stock market. Like, these people are a little bit different compared to the previous gen, where we're not about to just go buy something for $100 just because you put a price tag on it. And so I think that right there, I think Rockstar CEOs just, you know, Rockstar is about their money. So
I mean,
if they put out a game that is worthy of it, I mean, like, you look at another thing I'll have to look at, you know, by the next thing. I can't pull it up right now. I don't have my other computer in front of me, and I keep looking down at my phone to search stuff. But like the prices of, you know, games that came out over the years, you know, $100 right now. I mean, I believe some of the first cartridges for like ColecoVision were like $20, and this was like 40 years ago, you know. So inflation prices on everything, it's a, like, they could have did it a long time ago is what I'm saying.
But I mean, technically, the way that the game industry feels is that they're behind on pricing compared to, like, I mean, haircuts are getting, everything's going up, but yeah, I understand that, you know, the prices and the CEO. But with the developers, with companies, gamers are the most cheapest, expensive people of all time. Like, they are so cheap and they're expensive. When they see a product that they like, they gonna cut the check. Cut the check. If there's a product that they worry about, they're gonna be like, yeah, that game is not even worth $2.99. Like,
that's why I think it's gonna be good. So if they are saying that this game is gonna be one of the most expensive games that was ever created, and they're charging this high price, if somebody come in with a low tier, half of that, a quarter of that, or whatever that is, you got to start looking at your game. If they're only charging 100, then you should be charging, you know, if you only paid a quarter of it, you should be charging just a quarter of it. Yeah. So, like, you know, maybe that'll do that. That's what I'm hoping. Like, I don't want everybody to just be like, oh, we got to charge $100 for every game. I want them to say they spent $1 billion or something like that.
I know they gonna make the money back.
No, they gonna make. This ain't about making the money. It's about, like, if they're gonna charge that much, like, okay, we spent this much money on this game, we're only charging $100. Like he said that the cost of the game are low. That sounds true.
Yeah,
if they're
it is
spending that much on it. So no one can come in and be like, oh, well, I'm going to charge $100 too. Like, your game ain't worth but $50,000. Like, you can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, so hopefully that'll do that more so than make people jump into that, you know? So,
I think what's going to happen is Rockstar is going to get their money. They're going to get it no matter what. $100, whether it's bad or good, people already know Rockstar's, like, look at Red Dead and the other GTAs. So they're going to buy it They're going to get it. They're going to review it and be like, this isn't worth $100. Wait for the sale. The sale will probably drop it to 70. They're still going to buy it because it's cheaper, right? Which is what a base game is.
So,
and then on top of that, microtransactions, they're going to get their money from somewhere one way or another. I mean, I was reading something.
We got two more questions real quick. My bad. So he added more to his conversation. So he said, Starfield, oh man, this logo's in here and we can't even see it. Let me move this logo out the way. Starfield added the extra cost to the game by putting it in early access and allowing to play early for 100%. I think Rockstar will do the same.
They will. They're going to do the same. Top of that, going back to the adding the $100 price tag, they also have to think about their middleman. So like Microsoft and Sony, right? They feel, or the CEO probably feels like, hey, Sony and Microsoft are taking a chunk from us because we're using their platform to sell it, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're getting a cut and they don't like that.
Yeah, that's true. Because
they want to make money. So I think that's where that $100 price tag is really coming from. It's like Microsoft, Sony, Steam is taking a chunk we don't like. And we want more money, and we're going to get more money because we'll let you play it early, and we'll have microtransactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's, every industry has changed. Profitable Prince said the quality got to be there. The quality, the thing is, the quality will be there day one with GTA's story mode. I don't know about the online mode because we know what happened with GTA Five when they released online. It was broken and we had to recreate our characters, but they going to make sure that their stuff is working. So we had a lot of GTA talk so far, so we going to move away from the GTA conversation because it's steaming around here. So that's pretty cool, man. Speaking of Game Pass and digital services and things like that, since this became the subject of our podcast, the crowd gave us the subject. So
let's go.
How do you feel about digital versus physical? Like, so right now, Sony just recently there's something going on where Sony is removing people's purchasable content. People have bought movies. Some movies because of license issues. And so pretty much you bought this license for a movie, and then that they had a license dispute with the companies, so they had to remove it off their platform. So customers technically have lost their licenses to products that they had a license for. So now their license is invalid. So I got a strong opinion about digital, not Sony, Warner Brothers. One of the guys in our, corrected me. Warner Brothers pulled from Sony's platform. So there's some movie dispute with licensing. So how do you feel about that? Digital purchases, license being taken away, things like that. And I'm going to let y'all go because I got a strong opinion about digital licenses.
So in my opinion, I had a conversation because my mom was trying to buy somebody a game for someone in another country because she speaks Spanish and whatnot. And she's like, what's the difference between digital and physical? And I was like, well, physical, you have it. It's there. You know, it's your responsibility to take care of it and whatnot. Digital, it's you own it, but if you're not connected to the internet, in some cases you can't play it, or you're not signed into the account, you can't play it. You have to download it every time. And going back to the Sony thing, it was, I think it had to do with the Discovery movie or something like that, one of those planetary movies.
Yeah, Discovery is Warner Brothers. Discovery is the same company now. So the user in our chat is definitely right.
Yeah, I think it all depends on what you want to do, right? Like, if you buy digital, you remove, like, the physical space that it causes, the having to clean the disc, changing out discs, and whatnot. But with digital, it's like, I download it, I bought it, it's mine. You know, I can play it whenever I want. I don't have to take out the disc and clean it. The only problem is, like, if you lose your account, it's gone, right?
Yeah. I mean, speaking of that, like this week, people's PlayStation accounts randomly got banned. And when that account randomly got banned, they didn't have access to anything they purchased. So it was tied to a digital ID. Those people have gotten their access back. So let me clear the ways before people say I say something wrong, because we know the internet. But people they got banned for a temporary moment of time, couldn't access their products. Like, that right there is a is problematic to me. It's really problematic to me. So, Rocky, I'm going to let you go about how do you feel about digital versus physical products and a license and a non-license?
You know, we're watching I'm that guy talk about watching the trends and stuff like that. Like, I think it works for some things. I think, you know, especially like, so if you have an online game and it makes it fair where everybody are playing together because it's a digital download and they can control it better, I think that's cool. It's when you get into those spaces where because you have a physical version or a modded version or whatever it is that makes your gameplay better, that's when it gets really, really weird. I think some games do well as, okay, that's just for my kid to play offline and do that, and that's cool. But if it's another game where they're doing, like, you know, licensing and DLC and all that stuff, it kind of works better with the online presence. Because remember back when, I forgot which Halo it was. It was Halo 2 when we got to start buying the, you know, disc, the extra disc and stuff like that. And who the people didn't have the
Wait, Kirk.
I'm sorry, I brought up old memories. He's going to need therapy. I'm sorry to bring
that. Keep going, because I'm glad you said that.
Because, like, I mean, so, like, it's going to, like, you know, this probably is going to be my way of bringing it all together all the time, because I kind of see both sides, but at the same time, you know, I got opinion for one thing, and but not the other. Like I say, like, if you got a game that you want your kid to go play in the corner, that's one thing. But when it comes down to, like some games will have issues that everybody can't play because everybody don't have the content. To make it weird like that, that's when you get in that weird space.
I see your point. I feel your point. So we got another. We got one of the people in the audience. Before I rant, I'm gonna let we gonna comment on him. So he said, "Oh no, not that one. My bad."
Hey, that's me.
That's you. So he says that Activision Microsoft is having that same issue with old Spider-Man and Transformer games. They don't have the license anymore. So if you try to play the game as a part of the backwards compatibility program on the Xbox Series S or X, you can't play that game. It will work on the OG Xbox 360 console, though. So that's so what he's saying is, so that's a weird combination to me, because what Microsoft had to do, so to sum up what he's saying is, Microsoft had to relicense old products to be compatible on the current Xbox, right? So even though you have the physical disc to play it on the Xbox Series X or S, it has to pull a license down from the store to actually play the physical copy of the game.
Problem with being online.
and that's, now it's time for me to rant. So this is my thing when it comes to these digital license, man. Digital license to me are trash. So damn trash. My issue is with licensing agreements. As a consumer, that is not my business. I purchase a license. I feel like these companies need to get better at their negotiations with these licenses. Because if I buy something, I should have access to it regardless of when, where, what time, and whoever got upset at somebody. I feel like you getting mad at a studio and saying that I can't play the game because you don't like the terms of agreement, it penalizes the consumer at the end of the day. Like, the consumer has nothing to do with y'all corporate shenanigans and all your business rants and, oh, we want more royalty. Screw that. As a consumer, I purchased the license to play your game off your storefront. Now you want to have a dispute after you took my money. You got my money. And then you want to just say, according to our end user license agreement, we can take license away. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that at all. Like, and the reason why I'm passionate about these license situations, I had this situation with the Nintendo Wii. I spent probably $600, $700 on a Nintendo Wii, and it was tied to the serial number of the console. Lost all my money. Can't even re-download it. Like, $600 of yesterday's money and today's money is still $600 to me today. I don't give a damn. Sorry for saying damn. I don't give a damn if I spend $600 on the Wii. I need my license today. I'm going to start calling these companies and be like, yo, give me my damn product keys right now to all my licenses, because I want to exercise my licenses on paper. Like, yo, I got a license. Like I needed to hold it like a stock or something. Like, yo, like, because it don't, it's to me, it's like, we're stuck in a business war. Like, us as consumers. So when you said what you said about Halo 2 and the map pack, that was a little bit different. Like, the thing is that the map packs was the official first DLC for a console, in my opinion, when it came to Microsoft and Halo 2. But what they did is they let you purchase the maps. Yes, it did affect the gameplay of the online service, which, correct, people couldn't play the maps, and people was game, what we gonna call it, gaming discrimination. You can't play this game because you ain't on the maps. But the truth, one of the things that they did differently when Bungie had that map pack, they sold the physical maps on a disc. So you own the physical disc to install the maps, which was a great concept where, like, hey, we got DLC. We know people's internet ain't fast enough. And, you know, some people just like this. But they didn't even have to sell. They didn't have to sell the maps on disc. But Bungie said, you know what? We're going to sell the maps on a disc, so people can spread the maps, even if they don't own the disc, still use their base level games, because we want people to enjoy the games. And I think that was a pretty unique situation with Bungie when they put the map pack on the disc, because now Xbox Live OG ain't online no more. But if you pop Halo 2 in, I got it up there, the maps are, you can install the maps and play the maps without re-downloading them through Bungie. Bungie don't even own Halo no more. You can still enjoy those maps today without contacting the Bungie service or server to get that DLC, because somebody has the license to the, no, someone has the physical ownership of the maps on the disc, versus with this all digital world we in and the license agreements. I think storefronts need to get it together. I think when it comes to licensing, only people I think that do licensing correctly is Steam. Steam seems like when you get the product, it's physically downloadable, but their license management is a little bit tight, like compared to consoles. Like, they don't just let people say, hey, bro, like, I'm not sure I have read anything about Steam just taking licenses away. I mean, I'm pretty sure it happens, but I'm not sure if you still have access to a I know I got games that's in my Steam library that you can't purchase no more, but I can re-download it because I have the license for it. So Steam has, man, McPerk on those guys. I would take a drink when I turn 21 preaching. I think the licenses, like, Steam does license management very well. And I think even if they have to pull a game off, the game files are still accessible to the customer to an extent. You know what I'm saying? Versus, like, the guy said earlier, you put a physical disc into the 360, I mean, to the Xbox Series X, it has to pull a license down at this and point.
Install it, too.
And install it. Whack. That is extra whack. Like, the way that this stuff should be working is that we make a product, and if it's a physical product, that license issue is with the customer, not us. Microsoft, PlayStation, they need to negotiate with, hey, you agreed to let us put this game on the storefront, and we got a license issue, but if one of our customers put a downloadable game, I mean, put the licensed game into the console, they should be able to download and play, because that license has nothing to do with us. So I feel like companies need to get a little bit more aggressive with their license negotiations, because this is why we had issues with the whole MCU and all this other stuff. Business is getting away in progress in gaming, and I really, really hope that these companies get it together. I mean, Microsoft buying Activision, I mean, they probably have a little bit more flexibility with licensing now, so these things won't be frankly coming up in the future with Game Pass and Microsoft services. But I think a lot of people ain't really looking at it from a business aspect when it comes to the purchase of Activision. They really definitely, Microsoft has access to all the licenses without dispute to an extent. They might have dispute with certain partners and other miscellaneous things, but I think they're going to have a flexibility of having more licenses available to make more products.
We're moving into the right direction with it all. I mean, like, it's going to take some time because you do have people who are, you know, you just can't say no to one side because you got the people who are making the games and then you got the people who are playing them. And all three of us kind of are on both sides of, you know, creating and, you know, consuming. So it's to understand that we don't know, you know, I mean, it's just a higher level. So it just has to be on a, you know, like the, we'll get to the right page, hopefully, about it at the same time.
So we got another comment. It says the other problem is even if you have the physical game, so many of these games have a day one patch. And if you skip the game, it may not play.
So I think that has to do with, like, the company itself who's developing the game, right? Because it's become a business, right? So if I'm making a game, right, and it's not working, and I said it needs to come out December this year, and there's a bug, I can be like, everybody has the internet. I'll just throw a patch out day one before you can play it. Whereas back in the day, it's like, this glitch is here? All right, too bad. We'll fix it in the next installment. You know, so I think that has to do with, one, everybody has the internet now, right? And then it's become a business, right? So you have to feed 500 people and push a product. And it's like, can save this for later, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, I feel like that's being lazy.
It is.
Lazy.
In my opinion.
Completely lazy. Because this is why I call it laziness. And particularly with PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Because on a Nintendo product, we got some more comments. On a Nintendo product, when I pop, hold on. I gotta flex. When I pop a product in on the Nintendo, it's a complete product with no internet connection. You see that Nintendo quality insurance? They make sure that a customer like me is able to do this with no download.
You want to bring out stuff? I'm going to bring out stuff based on our next comment that we're getting.
Oh, this dude iPad. Right here. but the thing is, Nintendo makes sure that The Witcher, for instance, right? The Witcher on the Switch, downloaded complete on a cartridge working. Complete. No, it's not a digital cloud game like some of the other stuff. Okay, granted. But Nintendo makes sure that their products are complete and functionable on their console. Not none of this day one patch, incomplete, empty cartridges. You're selling me a CD with an install on it? Man, I should be able. The FTC, y'all, Microsoft got this FTC deal approved. Y'all should give me, I need to call the FTC. You cannot sell me an install file that ain't playable online. Like, you selling me a $60 installable with no EXE and I can't play it? That should be damn
crazy. That is crazy. But I mean, with the games, you know, like, they too big for that. Yeah. So that's another problem we run into with, you know, how big these games are. Like, there's no way a game is fitting on, like, a disc anymore at this
point. No, that's BS. That's BS. Because, I mean, I get it.
I'm trying, you can tell me how it is.
It's because, for me, a Blu-ray can store up to 100 gigabytes, right?
I thought it was only 27.
No. They got dual layer. 100 gigabytes. Yeah, 100 gigabytes. They got 50 gigabytes and 100 gigabyte dual layer. The issue is with PlayStation and Xbox, in my opinion, remember, our games like Grand Theft Auto 5 on the Xbox 360 on a DVD, even though you needed a hard drive, the game is able to run off a disc, right? Blu-ray drives are slow as hell. They don't spin fast enough to render a game. Most of the games we put in disc, they just install and just sit there, data at rest, like a hard drive. They ain't doing nothing. So that's what happens with a lot of these games. They just sit, but we live in the
same thing, though, right? Isn't that the same the other side of the conversation.
I mean, but the thing is, the game's installed on a hard drive. They've been doing that since PS3.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you get in the game and you're putting it on something else for it to run because it can't run on what it
because,
is.
Because the technology is slow. The Blu-ray don't spin that fast. But when I got a Nintendo that has a full product on a small cartridge, all I'm saying is that we can find other forms of medium. We got USB sticks with 1 terabyte now. One terabyte USB sticks.
That would be sweet.
I'm just saying.
That would be sweet. Like to see like a cartridge like
Nintendo can update the game. Updates don't go to like they can actually update the physical cartridge and write to the game because they have access to the read and write memory of the cartridge. As well as they has an SD card, they can write to that too. But I believe Nintendo updates the games go directly to the cartridge. So I got a full product that I could take on the plane. I could take this on an airplane and enjoy it without going to the internet, connecting. I can enjoy this on a 14-hour flight versus all that physical downloading and all that other stuff. Man, that stuff is weird to me, man. It's like, man.
You also have to look at you also have to look at like Nintendo compared to like Microsoft and Activision in terms of like how they make their games. Nintendo is very much we have a product and it's going to work day one, whereas maybe some other companies look at it and go, yeah, we can put this on an update. We can put this on an update. We can do a patch day one.
No, they shouldn't be doing that because if Nintendo said if you want to put this on a Nintendo game, you have to complete the product. You're not gonna get the gold. You're not gonna go gold with this game not booting up on the system. You ain't going gold without a bootable executable.
Right, and then going back to the Blu-ray, it's 25 gigs.
25 right gigs here. For single layer, 50 gigs for dual.
For a single layer, up to 4 layers are possible in a standard form. Blu-ray disc is 128 gigabytes. That seems to be
exactly.
The max.
Even if we get a 128 gigabyte disc, the CD drive cannot spin that much data. It's impossible. So
would you pay $100 for a Rockstar game on a terabyte disc?
I mean, on the USB
SD card?
I mean,
there better be some cool stuff that comes with that cartridge.
The thing is, if the game is the complete product running off a cartridge and it has to be optimized, the cost is justified, in my opinion, if it ain't downloadable only.
My kids, they're grown, but they play Smash Brothers, and they all mm-hmm. have downloadable content. How does that work with what you have on your account? I don't know, but I know it's possible.
So the extra characters are downloadable content, right? Nintendo mm-hmm. does downloadable content completely different than the rest of the industry. So mm-hmm. when you buy a Super Smash Brothers cartridge, you don't have internet. That game boots up with the core. All these amazing characters. You don't those characters. So if you did decide to purchase the DLC, I believe the DLC writes to the cartridge. I'm not sure, or it might write to the SD card. I'm not too sure on that, but the DLC writes to something. It might be writing to the internal SD card, but the core game, the base level mm-hmm. game, is still on the cartridge, and that DLC is a licensed piece of it, but the functionable all 75 characters and all that other stuff is still there. I can unlock the games. I don't have to purchase all those characters. They're complete in the overall product.
In other words, it should work when it's disconnected from the internet. Like if I buy something and I disconnect from the internet and let's say I can't pay for it or whatever, it should be there because I bought it.
The way that Nintendo does their DLC is similar to how how Bungie did the map packs. It's like, hey, here's an extra piece of data. This is what it is. It's not required to play. You don't need this to update it. You can still fight people online when they have their characters because it's going to download some of the data. You're not going to be like, yo, you can't fight this character because he's not downloaded to your game. No, they're not going to do that. Right. You're still able to fight the characters. If someone purchased the DLC or not, I'm able to still fight that character without purchasing the DLC on my game. So I'm not I'm not being exiled. Is that the word? I'm not being exiled to not play the game with the characters online because this dude got DLC. So I think Nintendo treats DLC as more of an expansion and not just a solution to come out with an incomplete ass product. I didn't want to cuss on the podcast, but that's what it is today. we got a question in the chat. We've been ranting about this licensing. That's been our show, bro. That's crazy. Licenses. So what'd he say? Even though we're excited about Microsoft buying Activision, the rumor of Guitar Hero making a comeback will have the same license nightmare for the song. Sony and Warner Music own a lot of those songs in the game. You think they're going to play nice with Microsoft after they take the game away?
No, they're not going to play nice. You're probably going to get one game that's backwards compatible that has all the songs that, like, you know, or like, let's say Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rocks, right? That's the only one you get backwards compatible, right? Yes. And then after that, every new game that they make, if they make one, has to go through the process of, like, can we get this song? Can we get this song?
Right. Yeah, song licensing is a very difficult process. I mean, right holder, Sony does have a lot of music in their IP. I think to his question, they will play nice with Microsoft if Guitar Hero is optimized correctly on the PlayStation platforms. I believe Sony ain't going to turn down no money.
The bottom line is money. Like,
I think as long as the peripherals are being met by each manufacturer. I think Sony will license their catalog if their game and the negotiations is right on their platform. I think they will leverage that catalog to squeeze more money out of Microsoft for the catalog. I definitely think that will happen, as well as I feel like Sony will probably be like, yo, we want to offer exclusive DLC on our platform for our song. Mm-hmm. So I think Sony will be doing something like that with Guitar Hero, trying to leverage its catalog for its music.
Like exclusives, like kind of how they did with Destiny, like, oh, you get the Monte Carlo if you buy it here on PlayStation.
I think that's what they will do. I think they will fragment their community just to say, yo, we got these rock songs because we own the catalog and you ain't going to get this on Xbox. And I think Microsoft will be okay with that because they're still getting paid off the base level game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers, on the other hand, who knows what their issue is. I mean, Warner Brothers is NetherRealm Studios, which is Mortal Kombat. I don't know what's going on with Warner Brothers. Like, Warner Brothers, man, I don't really know.
They have their own game division, don't they?
Yeah, they own Mortal Kombat. NetherRealm.
No. I'm saying like Warner Brothers games. Like,
oh, that's what it's called. Warner Brothers game. Yeah, they have they did the Harry Potter game and all those different studios. Warner Brothers is a weird company when it comes to how they run things. Like, they're not public about their operations. You just never know with Warner Brothers. Like, but Warner Brothers does have a lot of music, and I think Microsoft will have more leverage with negotiating with Warner Brothers for music than negotiating with Sony. That's for sure. And so that's my opinion with the licenses with the music libraries. What's your thoughts, Pops, on the music licensing for the platforms?
You know me, I'm excited to play it all, man. What are you going to say, Scorch? Because I was going somewhere else.
No, I was just saying, like, you don't care. You just want to play the game.
Exactly. Hey, that's me, man. Because it's like a lot of things that people, you know, like, I'm going to rant with, like, the how I feel about it all. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, the bottom line, people want to get paid. And then the weird part is when people buy something and then the original artists don't get paid. And that's when it gets really, really weird. But other than that, you know, we're dealing with big companies and shareholders, and they're running the world. And they're making everything crazy. That's why you're getting, you know, you're almost getting double content with everything. So they'll take something and go real crazy off the wall with it. Then they say, oh, let everybody rant. And they say, oh, we'll bring it back to the original to get you guys Wolverine black and yellow suit. You know what I mean? It's just what they do, you know? And it's okay, like, I mean, on the sense of like, man, like, they're going to keep doing it. We're going to rant and it's going to be cool, you know? And everybody's going to somehow get paid somehow and keep fighting, you know?
I think with the creators, unfortunately, with the licensing, I think what I think should happen with digital licenses is that I feel like licenses should be tradable. Like, I feel like I don't like this game. I already met my, already beat this game. I want to trade this license. I want to trade this license for some store credit. Yeah, hey, give me some store credit. Give me some Microsoft points. Give me something, because I don't want to play this no more. And I feel like if I could trade the license for credit, and when the license get traded, like if I could trade a license to you, I feel like I'm willing to pay a transfer fee to you, right? To be like, okay, I'm trading this license. I feel like that should generate a royalty.
So like trading game, but like digitally?
Yeah.
Like if you own GTA 5 and I own Halo, we pay $5 both and we can trade games.
Yeah, and we trade the games with a service fee. Like, we paying a transfer license fee.
Yeah.
And then that money goes and fluctuates back into the creator royalties or whatever. And then that way a creator gets a royalty for some other license that's already pre-sold. Because the truth of the matter is, this will work really good with games that people would never, ever buy again. Like these smaller indie studios, like, let's trade these licenses around and then be able to generate a small royalty for XYZ Studio, because the truth of the matter is they ain't getting no money no more.
that would get really, really interesting. They would have to have a whole division set up and whole rules, and ideal world that may work, but I wonder if they would like even consider that, because that brings up a whole lot of the issues with everything, you know. That's a really good idea though, like really, really good.
Copyright.
I mean, you have to have somebody to police that whole system.
The blockchain can definitely police that system. let's see. Does Steam allow users to sell digital library to someone else? I don't believe so. I don't know much about Steam.
You can if you buy a game, you have 2 hours to return it, though. That is, then you get all your money back.
That's good.
That's the only thing that I think Microsoft and Sony should do, is that 2 hour window, so that way you can get like real genuine reviews of the game.
I think with PlayStation you could return a game in 30 days. I'm not sure really? What their license is, yeah, but I'm not too much. Sure. Yeah, I'm not too sure about Microsoft, but you can return a game after X amount of playtime and get the full return. But I think if you do it too much, I think they're going to blacklist you. Like, they're not going to just give you a customer guarantee situation with that. So I think that's one of the things they do too. Man, this podcast was crazy.
I just work here.
Man. I mean,
like we thought, like, you can get through something really fast, and like we all can talk. So this is gonna be the reemergence of this is like, wow, you know, this is gonna be really, really cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. We're gonna get our stuff together, so you know, we got a lot of stuff to do. We're working on our chemistry and everything, man. So
I like the chemistry already, man. Y'all could be up,
man. You
young whippersnappers.
Yeah. So what else? You got any subjects you want to talk about? Oh, I got one more subject before we end. We're gonna end in a minute. 343, like, because y'all Halo players, so. Microsoft buying Activision.
Well, I met you on Halo.
Yeah. We did that for another episode. So with Microsoft acquiring Activision and getting all this first-person shooter talent, do you think Microsoft is going to use some of this talent for the Halo franchises or make them cross-platform or anything like that? You don't think we'll see Master Chief in Call of Duty as a playable character or anything like that?
So I think things like that, like if you go to Warzone and there's a Halo skin, I think that's gonna happen. But like Call of Duty coming to Halo, no.
None of the developers or nobody helping on projects or developing anything for it.
I think if they did that, I think you could see some success and then not some good success out of it. Because the way I see Call of Duty right now is they're just selling me the same game with a new skin on it. I mean, you can argue Halo's the same thing, but it doesn't feel new. You know, some of the bugs are still there. I do think that they can take some of the people that work there and bring them in, like maybe a producer to get management going the right way, or some better programmers to fix the engine. Yeah, I think they could do that and should do that. But in terms of like collaborating, I think it'll be one-sided.
I see.
You know, with the way information is passed on, I mean, you got a new young developer like Scorch, you know, working on gaming, and he knows a lot about stuff. So you're really not like talent is interesting at this point. If you are watching what's happening even in sports and anything, there's so much young talent being able to put into the positions of older talent, and all they need to do is either follow their model or, you know, figure out something new. I don't think two sides to that. I don't think it makes much of a difference that's going to happen. But when it does happen, it's really going to be like, just take whatever you want, you know, on platforms like that. Well, the games you're talking about, like, only way it's going to really work is everybody can get paid off the bigger picture, and you know, yeah. That's not that hard to do once they get it all on paper, because anybody can do anything. Like what I'm trying to say, like you can hire a bunch of interns and pay them little to nothing to do what the big boys do.
Yeah,
you know, like five interns, one big boy, they can do it. It may take longer, but because it's multiple people doing it, it'll take longer and they don't know the exact thing, but then they'll just hire an expert. This is an interesting time in the world where we kind of don't need these quote unquote experts in the sense of like things that are like something like a game development, because it's kind of all the same. I heard Scorch talking about using something like what's the render game and developing thing, you know, like
Unreal.
Versus something like the C++.
Unity. So C++ is like
go ahead.
So I mean, the thing about gaming talent, and this is my opinion, where, you know, the gaming talent is aging. They're an aging population now, some of these people. I think it's a mixed situation when it comes to gaming talent, because there are things that the younger generation don't understand when it comes to, like, let's say a Forza Motorsport, right? Getting in-game physics and a lot of that stuff programmed and comprehending, comprehending the level of detail that it takes to program the in-game physics for a vehicle like that. That takes wisdom. That takes scientists. That takes a lot of data. Like, I think some of the elderly, we're dealing with a lot of talent issues in the tech industry as a whole. Like, our older programmers are aging. Governments are asking these people to come out of retirement because this stuff is in their head. And I believe when you've been in the industry for 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years, because believe it or not, we have senior citizen game developers that have developed on these. We got 65 plus up game developers. This is what they do. And it's amazing to me that, you know, these people know stuff about the polygons and things. There's a science to this stuff. And I think that's what makes the gaming industry, like Rockstar, back to looping back into our conversation, where development costs are higher, because you have to have all these specialized people to get the end result done. Because me downloading the first person shooter engine into Unity, that's one thing, but optimizing that and making it feel unique and not just a scan on some random storefront, that's a whole nother monster. And I understand what he said too, like Call of Duty's a copy and paste game. It probably is, because they don't want to develop a whole nother engine and deal with the fluidality and trying to make these mechanics over and over again. They're trying to milk it. This is why games like Battlefield is having these creative issues, because they're working on different engines and things like that.
Yeah,
so I think go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it also is a leadership thing. Like, if you get a bunch of new hires that have proven, like, oh, okay, you can make an engine from scratch, or you can do a gun that shoots three bursts, right, or whatever, that's cool. But it's like, you need someone who knows a lot more above them to help them, right? Because they're going to turn to their fellow person, right, and be like, hey, do you know how to do this? No. And it's like, all right, who do I ask, right? You can't go ask somebody from another company, because that'll break the NDA, right? And then on top of those senior positions, you have the manager or the producer and whatnot. And if they're not working together, the other departments aren't working together. And then you have this like weird product where it's like, yeah, it was going to be Battlefield, like the Battlefield 3, you know, but like somebody got fired and somebody was like, oh, I saw this game, come do this. And then it threw a wrench over here. And then you get like this weird fractured thing. So I think if anything, there needs to be a cohesive vision and everybody on the same page.
Yeah. And then that's what happens too. One person leaves the studio, the game is dead. And that's crazy to me. Managing gaming talent probably comes with its challenges. I mean, hopefully we get some interviews with some developers so we can get more insight. So we'll be bringing back some of our interviews. But we're going to do our final notes, and we got one more question, and I'm going to answer pieces of it, and then we'll talk about this, and then we'll wrap it up. So user ask, I want to say his name right, GZ Dr. Forev or Durev, Gizderev, are you going live tomorrow for the Game Awards? What studios are you hoping to show gameplay and trailer tomorrow? I'm hoping for Naughty Dog, Fractions Studio, and MDHR and Cuphead too. I don't know what that is.
MDHR is the guys who make Cupheads.
Okay. So, no, we're not going to go live tomorrow. So we're going to put our routine together for Tick Podcast. So a lot of people are going to go live tomorrow. I'm going to try to let subjects season before we go live with our opinions so we have more thoughts and make sure we're not saying regurgitated content so we sound a little bit different than the masses. So we'll let the masses watch the Video Game Awards. We'll watch it too. And that way we have a more solid opinion about who won, things like that. When it comes to Cuphead 2, I met the developers at E3 for Cuphead. I never played Cuphead. It's sad that I didn't play it, but I don't have an opinion about it. I mean, it looked cool to me. The animation looks nice to me. So, and Naughty Dog, Factions 2, I believe that's The Last of Us deal. I know a lot of people want Factions to be back in The Last of Us. I think that's going to be gaming as a service. So we'll see. I mean, I don't like doing the speculations of the Game Awards. I just like to watch and enjoy the show, see what happens, because, you know, people get upset and things like that. I just hope Jeff Keighley gets his blurted announcement people under control. Hopefully no one walks on the stage and do none of that craziness. And I hope the sound is a little bit lower. Like, I hope the audio is better than the previous ones, because sometimes that music be loud. But what's your opinion of his question and then video game award thoughts?
I'm going to be going live tomorrow for the thing, like on my own Twitch. I'm going to be going live and watching it then and there. Studios I'm kind of hoping to see more of, if they do an announcement, is the Star Wars game of the Old Republic. I heard news it got like canned because they weren't doing anything because of like some creative differences and writing differences. So if they have any more Star Wars projects, I'll be looking out for that. And just looking at all this stuff, like who wins Game of the Year, you know, for sound and music. Really excited for the live performances that they do of the games. That's going to be cool to see.
So who you think getting Game of the Year?
Oh, man. You have, like, what? It's Zelda, Breath of the Tears, right? And then I think that one might win.
Broader Gates 3.
Baldur's Gate 3. I think that one could win, too. It really comes down to that one. And
Spider-Man 2, Mario Wonder, Final Fantasy. And,
Baldur's Gate.
I do have an opinion. I don't feel like Spider-Man 2 is an award-winning game of a year. It's not worthy of it. I think the game was too small. The game, to me, it wasn't that next generation impressive. I feel like that game could have been played on PS4. So I feel like Spider-Man is not game of the year just because of the. It was short and it just wasn't moving. It wasn't touching. The story was it was something good to play, but it wasn't like groundbreaking. Hype. It wasn't hype. It was game of the year last year was Elden Ring. Was it Last of Us or Elden Ring?
I think it was Last of Us, I think.
Last of Us last year? Or Elden Ring? Yeah. Or what year was that? Like, it's going to be something that people don't expect. There's rumors that Alan Wake 2 on the Time magazine, it was Alan Wake 2 for their Game of the Year.
Yeah, award. so the contenders are Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Spider-Man, Resident Evil 4, Super Mario, Wonder, and Legend of Zelda. I think it's going to come down between Baldur's Gate and Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
I think Alan Wake and Resident Evil might win some awards. Same with Mario.
Yeah.
Like some like best audio or best narrative. But I think in terms of like actually being the best, it'll probably be Zelda or Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm, yeah. I mean, Zelda was definitely for this hardware, Zelda definitely pushed the envelope on the Switch. And, you know, Breath of the Wild created its own gaming industry. Shangan Impact and all, a lot of copies and clones came from that game. So I think the building mechanics in Zelda was definitely groundbreaking because I didn't think that Nintendo was going to make a different product with Zelda. So I would like to see. Okay. I just don't think Spider-Man should be Game of the Year, in my opinion. And I'm just going to end it at that.
What about Elden Ring won last year, by the way.
Yeah. You know me. I'm that guy that likes to just see it all. So, like, you know, I haven't played any of the games. So if I go by my heart, it'll be Zelda or Resident Evil because, you know, I love the Resident Evil series. But, you know, technical aspects and all that stuff, I would have to have played all the other games to really have a full opinion about it. So I got to go by the heart. So I'll be rooting for Zelda and or Resident Evil. How about that?
Okay. I mean, there we go. We got Pop's opinion. So, you know, this was the Inner Circle Podcast, man. Woo! Episode 131. This is a new beginning, man. And we got through it, man. I didn't know what this was going to entail. I want to really thank the audience for helping us create the subject matter because we didn't have no script or nothing like this. This is our first time going live in Tick's history. So we learning our new technology, building the new team, reestablishing the company. So we got a lot of work to do, but this was dope. Right. Like I'm happy that you came. Geez, I want to say your name correct. So GZDR4EV, you really gave us that oomph for our podcast. So thank you for coming. And I know the Twitch page is under developed. So we're gonna get that Twitch page right, and I hope you follow us. Like and subscribe. I don't even know what to say, but this was the Inner Circle Podcast. For the fans, by the fans, for gamers, by gamers. And yes, we will be back after the Game Awards next week. We're going to schedule a time. We're going to try to get our scheduling and all our logistics, but I just wanted to get our presence back online. So for the fans, by the fans, the InnerCircleGamesNetwork.com is our website. TickGamesNetwork.com. Tick Podcast is the show. And we'll be back with you after the Game Awards. And till then, stay safe and enjoy the show tomorrow. Yes, for the fans, by the fans.
Thank y'all. Thank you.
And we're going to end with our intro again.
Oh, man, it feels good to be back. Another episode of the Inner Circle Podcast once again.